Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome to On My Block Podcast, a Green Bay Packer podcast. On myself, Amon Green, my good friend and teammate, Mike Wall. He's about to clean off the top right there. There it is right there.
Look at that backside, man. That's some posterior chain work at its finest.
That's how you clean off the top. You clean off the
You're power. Not even allowed to, you know what's funny is like people think you're not
that's
allowed
illegal
to do
now,
that.
Right?
No, it's not. It's not. See, that's
or frowned that, upon. That's frowned
that's
upon.
That's what people want you to think. That's right. What this new generation wants you. They want you to think it's illegal. I remember when I have a friend, Matt Sheldon, who works for the Raiders now, but he's amongst other things, he's been an assistant coach. He's done a bunch of stuff, but now he's he's a game management specialist.
Okay.
And back in the day when we were in Miami, he did like the rookie school. And so he was looking for film to break down. He pulled out some of my old tape and there was a bunch of like linemen in there. And I forgot who we were playing, but he just pulled out some random tape. But it was like back in the good days. I was beating the hell out of these boys, right? And so he started putting up this tape. And these guys were like, no, man, you can't do that anymore. I was like, no, you wish you couldn't do that anymore because it would give you an excuse not to do it anymore. But that's how we used that, you know, like old school is the best school, man. Ain't no school like the old school.
Exactly. I love that we are from the old school. And we'll get to BetOnline, our sponsor of the show here. Basketball is back. And BetOnline remains our number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. So you always find the latest odds, team matchups information, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. So as your continued source for all the sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest, easiest way to bet all your favorite sports events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, I say esports, and even golf. And head over to betonline.ag to rejoin and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BLEAV to get your rewards. So BetOnline, Mike, where the game starts. So
do we know what the AG stands for?
I have no idea.
Amon Green and AG, you know.
It's just weird. I've been seeing a few websites have an AG at the end. I think it's just another thing like .com or .co or .org or whatever. Yeah. So interesting. It is interesting to see that. I'm like, what? I need to get my copyright money for that.
We got the combine this week. It starts tomorrow. And it's like, and the combine just becomes this like bigger and bigger inflated production now, right? And
yes,
I remember and you and I have actually, we hadn't seen each other in years. And we saw each other at the combine a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I remember. 5-6 years ago now, right? And
yep.
It's funny because once you're there, you see it from the perspective of obviously the fan. I mean, when we're out of football, you see this from the fan, then we've seen it from the player standpoint. But what the combine I think really is just a place for coaches to fraternize. Because that's it. Because there's really nothing.
That's else. One of the reasons, yes.
Because there's really not a lot of stuff you get done from a player's perspective. And we can go into it, but I just remember every night at every hotel, the lobby is packed until midnight, 2 a.m. Everyone's out just hound dogging a little bit.
Yeah.
And networking and elbow rubbing, man. That's what it's all about, networking and looking for jobs.
Right, right. I mean, like the networking part, that's where I have respect for the combine, because I'm like, okay, guys and women are there working to trying to find their next spot, next job. But then in the fraternizing stuff, it's like, come on, man. I was like, I thought as players, we were young enough and dumb enough to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. But these are the guys that are teaching us, showing us how to develop as players. And they're out there doing the same thing. I'm like, come on. I'm like, so. Unfortunately, it's that I say that role for some guys.
I just remember it was very eye-opening to me. And listen, yes. I don't think it's like I think Sean McVay a couple years ago he didn't send his staff because he just it was admitting what everybody else kind of knew, which it was completely useless
everywhere. Yeah.
Now, when you're a player, let's just talk about the player experience. When you go in as a player, the biggest thing that you get out of that, and I don't think this is necessarily right too anymore, but the argument was at least you got every single team could have their medical staff look at you.
Correct.
Right. But there's some other things that go on as well, right? But we have team interviews, which we'll get to. Yep. We have, and then obviously the combine drills, which, a random coach decides, hey, I'm going to run the drills this year. And then they kind of go through it. It could be it could be drills that you approve of, drills that you, it doesn't really matter. And then they have obviously the underwear Olympics and everything. If I'm if I'm a player or if I'm an agent of a player right now, and I don't know your perspective on this, because what you'll hear a lot is, and what you'll hear on TV all week, if you watch it, is, hey, listen, we want guys who want to come here and compete. And it's like, no, you really don't. You really don't care. We're just trying to justify why we're here, because every single one of these players that goes to the combine is going to have to validate their efforts at their own pro day regardless. So if you're the cornerback for the University of Miami and you go over here and you run a 4.2, they're going to be like, all right, we want to see it again at pro day. We're going to see you move at pro day. And when you look at as an athlete trying to put their best foot forward, you want to be in an environment where everything is, you can control the most variables. So you can control what bed you sleep in, you control your meals, you control your the temperature of the room. All of these things matter, right? And so I want to give my best effort. And maybe some people might say, AG, like, well, we can go to the combine, and if we don't do as well as we wanted, we can always do better on pro day. But if you go to pro, then you have all your eggs in one basket. But I think for most of us, we go, that's fine with me. It's like variables. I don't know. What did you think about your experience there?
My experience was the first day getting pulled on and prodded on, probed, was like, is this what I've been waiting for all my life? I asked myself that question halfway through the pulling and tugging. And when I say pulling and tugging, elbows, ankles, knees,
anything they might come up from any game during your entire career,
your entire life of football, of sports. And so, I'm naive. I'm nice. I do things well over top. And so, of course, what'd you think I was doing? I started back at Little League. I was going, when I was 10, I twisted my ankle. And then, so I figured it out about three teams after the first team. I was like, all right, look, this is what I got. I did an ankle last year. I did my turf toe, and that's it. I kept it short and sweet because I was like, oh, my God. Because it was like they're sitting right next to each other, and they don't credit the other team. If it's a team from the AFC to the NFC, none of that matters.
Which is actually nuts if you think about it. Like, it's not the fact that it's not standardized. And you and I have been in different organizations, so we know that, like, Pat McKenzie is better than some other team doctors. Yes. And Fleer is better than a lot of the other trainers. Like, we know that. But having said that, just to standardize and streamline this procedure, you would think that unless there's something really pressing, like they had a neck injury and like every time, there's a specialist that wants to see it, you would think they'd be able to streamline this a little bit better.
You would think so. And then from the actual running, and then I'll mention interviews later, but then the running side, I came into a situation where I had tweaked my groin literally 1 week before the combine. So me and my agent, we had that conversation, and this was something that you just mentioned. So if you have something like that, then you want to go run your best if you can. And then pro day is where then you can display being healthy. Our pro day was almost like 3 weeks to the day after the combine in Indianapolis. So that 3 weeks, icing the growing three times a day, I was ready to go. And that's where I was able to blast off and, you know, put myself in what I thought was a different area, but obviously still went third round. And as we learn later, as we know now, scouting is scouting. So, you know, it's a lot we can say about that aspect of it. But I'll talk about the interview process once we get down that line.
Yeah, man. Let's hit it, man. So these interview questions over the course of the last decade, you hear right. some stuff come out of there. And so to paint a picture for everybody, and there's the New York Giants used to have a 4-hour test that you had to take. Yes. And they would have you meet with the team psychologist. And the guy, at least when I met with him, the guy's he's not like he wasn't a nice man. No, right. He wanted to cause conflict. But yes. most of the time when you're, and this is outside of the combine, when you're at the combine, you're literally getting talked to by coaches, not psychologists, not trained psychiatrists. You're getting talked to by coaches. So it's almost like these guys, some of them had read like a coloring book of like how to put people in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
And they start asking you these questions. So I pulled up a couple here, AG, that are from the combine for, you know, like, do you find your mother attractive? That was a question. One of the Falcons coaches back in the day asked the guy flat out, do you like men? And he was talking about sexually. Wow. What would your murder weapon of choice be? Would you be a knife guy or a gun guy? And you can see, okay, like I can go down the rabbit hole and go, knife guy or a gun guy. Okay. Do I like to be up close and personal? You know, okay, what does that say about me? How many ways could you use a brick in a minute? You know, like, okay, well, let's see how fast they can quickly, you can think on their feet. It's kind of an oddball question.
Yeah.
But, oh, and then like the standard one is always like, would you rather be a cat or dog? Are you a loner? Are you a pack animal, et cetera, et cetera?
Correct. Right? Yeah. Those are the questions. Yeah. In the multiple choice.
and the thing is like, so when I was in business school, you have to, everybody has to read if you want to go into Wall Street, which I went, that's where I was going. I was going into banking. So it's like, you have to read this book called A Walk Down. I think it's called A Walk Down Wall Street. And it's basically all the interview questions from every investment banking interview they've ever heard of. And they're really, really complex. Some of them well thought out. That's like Elon Musk is always asking like the North Pole question. And, you know, there's always these different things that guys want to ask, get you thinking. So you prep for it. Right. Everything we know already at the combine, like everything is scripted as far as these athletes are going into this and their agents are scripting answers for them for every question. So I guess if I was sitting there, you want to sit there and think, if I'm a coach, I want to ask a question he's not going to think of. So that's the impetus for doing a lot of this. I'm just wondering, what do you have for weird stories? And then like, is there any questions? Like, how would you try to frame that conversation so you can get the most out of it?
Yeah. So if I'm, you know, I'll say, well, what I've heard, I mean, I didn't have nothing completely weird. I had it was with the Chiefs. I walked into the room and everybody's wearing Chief gear and they had me actually do some hand eye stuff. Mm-hmm. So they gave me a pair of glasses. And so one lens was like, literally Mike, that thick. One lens was that thick. They had me put the glasses on, gave me a golf ball.
Okay.
Moved the trash can about 6 feet away from me and said, hey, can you toss that golf ball into the trash can with those specs on? Okay. So obviously I knew it was going to be a vision thing. So when I tossed the first time, I put too much into it. So I overshot it. They gave me the ball back, tossed it. The second time just was a little bit short. Then the third time I nailed it. Boom. What did you do to make it in that trash can? I was like, well, I just adjusted. I threw it further on purpose to kind of see the depth. You know, my depth perception is off because of these glasses. And then I threw it short just by mistake because then, okay, I thought I threw it far enough, but I think short enough was going to get it. But then I adjusted on the third one. They're like, okay. Then they start writing. I'm sitting there like,
oh, okay. So I wonder if they're trying to evaluate how you learn like kinesthetically.
Correct.
But you wouldn't Well, I mean, there's got to be a way. You got to do it some way, I guess.
Right, right. I guess that was their way. And but being 21, I was 20 at that time. No, 21. Mm-hmm. I just turned 21. At that time, of course, I'm like, what the? In my head, I'm like, what is going on? Because I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting the questions that eventually I saw later on the Giants Wonderlic test or whatever.
400.
Yeah, the crazy questions. Like, that's what I was expecting. You know, then I was expecting, okay, you know, you came out early as a junior. Why are you coming out as a you know, now? And what do you feel that you're ready for? I got those questions finally, because after that, it just threw me off that first little exercise. And then they had me do a few little things too. And then like with a tennis ball, and da, 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 I was like, okay, I said, I could do this. But all right, this is something that is pertaining to football on some level. I don't know what it is, but I hope I nailed it.
You know, it's funny. It's I think now, like when I look at it, I would try to treat that as much like a job interview as I could. I mean, it would be really hands-on. So we'd probably clear out the tables and we'd get into like our stance, our past set or something, and just start talking through like, what do you see here? Because I want to know how you think, and I also want to know how you react to the way I talk and the way you talk. And it's a little bit more casual because that's how we operate.
Correct.
And, you know, a little less formal, but it would just be all, because you can gather so much information about like, foundational knowledge, resiliency, competitive mindset. I can gain all that just by asking questions about football. I don't need to ask you like, how much do you love the sport? You know, what, give me your daily routine. Like, I want to get you, like, let's get down, get in a set, tell me the different ways you, Tell me where your eyes go when you're lining up at safety, before the ball snap. Tell me all these different things. And you just okay. And exactly. Then you go, okay, now you know actually how much they know. And it's like, all right, well, how much am I gonna have to teach this person on the conducive learning? Because they don't know go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, what I would add in there as a running backs coach, if I am looking at running backs, if I'm looking at, or even in linebackers, I'm like, if I'm talking to a whole bunch of linebackers, I'm asking them, if you see a I formation, double tight end set, where's your first read at, or what, when you see that formation, what is the one obvious thing they try to make you think, and see if they give me an answer? Because obvious, that's an easy one. That's a snowball one. Mm-hmm. They're making me think as a linebacker, we're running the ball. So, okay, if you give me that answer, then I'm like, okay, good. He knows the root, very easy level of play recognition. All right, now you got something a little different. Yeah, it's the same formation, but then you see their Pro Bowl tight end is hitched off. All right, now offset. So what's that going to then bring you into the mindset of? You got to look at that. He's their best. It's a Travis Kelce sitting in that offset position. What's then your mind going to tell you pre-snap? So you got to think about those things, because obviously that's what we're dealing with defensively as linebackers. You're dealing with tight ends like Travis Kelce that can run and block and can do screens and all that stuff that, as we've seen KC do, because obviously that's the team. That's the number one team right now in the NFL. It's like stopping the Chiefs, dealing with Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the rest of the receivers. You got to ask me, I got to see if you know defensively or offensively as a running back that you can cope, that you can understand what you're going to face out there on the football field.
That's actually a great segue, AG, because we last week I put out something on Twitter. If you had a first round pick, a third round pick, and you got priority free agent signed, so like $15 million a year, right? Which covers most, not all, positions, right?
Sure.
What would you do? And there was a ton of different kind of, there's a couple themes that came through, but there was a ton of different thoughts on who we should go after, who should be the first rounder, who should be the third rounder, who should be the free agent. What do you think? First rounder, third rounder, a priority free agent for $15 million a year.
Oh man, I'm about to go priority free agent. $15 million.
No. So you get all. I'm telling you, you get all three.
Oh, right? Okay.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, and I actually really do feel this way when I look at the team. I think the Green Bay Packers are probably three really good players away from competing with the Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers as they stand right now.
Yeah.
Right. Next season. Now, there's other things that are going to happen. I'm not saying that all teams are going to improve or get worse or whatever during the offseason. But as of right now, if I look at this team, assuming you're going to have your quarterback back, I go, okay, I think we're three position players away. I'm just wondering what you think.
I agree. I think they are. And one of those, I say, if not one, definitely possibly two of those players are on defense. Yep. And it's in the because you got Adrian Amos, he's now gone, cap casualty. Mm-hmm. So bringing in somebody defensively in the backfield, defensive backfield, the back seven or eight guys, because we know Aristos will be back. We'll just see where he's going to come, out of that surgery on his ankle, I think his shoulder too. So bringing in a strong safety, bringing in another corner, even keeping Nixon, because I know he's a free agent too. So that's a guy that showed up.
I'm now sure on, he'll be back.
On special teams and on defense as well with some picks coming later half, and him being familiar, that'll be good. And then having a first round pick somewhere in the interior, defensive line or O line as well.
I think there's a couple of ways to look at it. I think you need a tight end. I think you need a safety. And I think you need my pick would be for offensive line. Mm-hmm. Some people would say edge. A lot of people said edge rusher. So for me, the tight end position, given the fact that you have a veteran quarterback,
yeah,
and you want to have an impact now, I think there's some really good tight ends in this draft. Like, I'm excited about a number of these tight ends. We can go over them a little bit, but you'd love to see them go pick up like a Dalton Schultz and Evan Ingram. Like, these guys are going to cost about $15 million a year at the tight end position. Exactly. Right?
So worth it, though.
Yeah. So I just think it's worth doing that. Austin Hooper, and he's maybe not what he was, but 28 years old. He's always been a solid blocker. He made plays against us this year when he was playing for Tennessee. Right. And he's a guy that we could go pick up, and maybe he's a bridge guy while you bring in another tight end project. There's a couple guys that are going to go in the first round here, but their football intelligence would have to be super high. There are three dudes at safety that I'm excited about, and I don't know if they're worthy of first round picks or not, but there's a kid from Boise State, JL Skinner, 6'4", 220, right? Just 6'4", 220, freak athlete playing strong safety. I immediately go, Cam Chancellor, man. Okay, let's do it. Like Adrian Wilson, let's go. Yeah. Right? Like I want one of those guys on this team. Then you think of Jamie Robinson from Florida State, 5'11", 203, compact guy, really good tackler, strong in the run game. Sidney Brown from Illinois, 6 foot 205, compact guy, really strong in the run game. There's a lot of guys that are ball hawks and that are maybe a little bit thinner. I'm looking for that. Like, I'm looking for that guy who leaves an impression on you when they make a tackle. And those three guys, when I was kind of just going through some tape and going watching some safety play, I always go back to like Adrian Wilson's one of the baddest dudes I played against. Watching Cam Chancellor, I love that kind of guy. Troy Polamalu coming in downhill. Played like 260 or something.
Yeah, I was like, when you said that, I was like, what? No way.
The guy's unbelievable.
He hurt.
There's some opportunities there. So first you go, and then interior offensive line, or tackle, right? There's a bunch of guys. I showed some guards. For me, the kid from the Northwestern, if you had a first-round pick and that kid from Northwestern, Skoronski, if he was there, you could put him anywhere on the line. They're going to be better. Like he's really, really good. I did a show last week, Block Party Show, where I showed him. There's a kid from North Dakota State. It's going to be good. He's more of a project. But that kid and the kid from Alabama, Emil, he is going to be really good as well. He's going to be a guard for sure. The other kid could play both, even though he's only 6'3". But both those two kids, Emil, I forgot his last name, from Alabama, and then Skoronski from Northwestern. Mm-hmm. If we could get either of those guys first round, safety third round, and then pick up a free agent tight end. If Dalton Schultz was available, that'd be awesome. If Evan Ingram was available, that'd be awesome, right? Or we go start going down the line, Hayden Hurst. I think right there you have the makings of a team that you can go out and say, we can beat and compete for the NFC Championship against the Niners, against the Eagles, et cetera. Otherwise, I just don't think you can, honestly.
No, because you got those tight ends and the way they built and what they've done and coming from the schools that they were blocking, number one. That was something they had to do to be a part of those rosters in the Big Ten, in the SEC. And obviously that's what we've talked about among the tight ends that been on the Packers roster, Mercedes Lewis being the one that we favored. And then Tonyan got a little better this year, a little better. But that was probably why he's not on the roster right now, maybe in the decision-making of that, along with the money too. Because as we know, these tight ends, and I like how you worded five, they got to be, was it five tool?
Five tight tool ends. Guys, man. Yep.
Five tool guys. You got to be able to catch the ball and block for your running, for the running back, for the offensive line, along with the offensive line, to make yourself valuable. Because if you're not putting up Travis Kelce numbers, then you need to do work, period. And you got to have that mindset. I think any tight end should know that coming out of the Big Ten, coming out of SEC, ACC schools that do run the ball first and then pass is a second necessity if they have to.
There's a handful of guys in the draft this year that, like, just from a physical standpoint, you go, okay, we can work with this. The kid from Utah, he's that receiving tight end. Where, for me, well, let me ask you this, AG. Given what we have, and I think I'm setting you up because I know the answer, like, given what we have on offense and getting where, you know, given where we want to go, like, what kind of tight end do you want? Do you want to, there is, I'm not saying Travis Kelce, but do you want a Travis Kelce type tight end, or do you want a George Kittle, Mark Andrews type tight end?
I love Travis Kelce, but I want Mark Andrews. I want Kettles.
Yeah.
I like their attitudes. It's their, like, I love Kelce's attitude. He is a dog, as we call it, but I know his mindset is, he will help with the run, but that's not his priority. You could just know that. And that's okay. That's what's making him a potential Hall of Famer. Nothing against that. But guys that are tailored and have the physique to do it and actually has the want to is Kettle. We've seen film of Kettle driving the guy off the ball and planting him in the ground and then helping him up. That's what he wants to do. And then, you know what? He'll go one hand a touchdown just for the fun of it. But he wants to block. And so you got to have guys that want to block, not just at the tight end position, but every position on that offensive line and on that deep, on our, I say wide receivers and running backs that want to go and get yardage. You got to have guys that want to be physical pretty much.
There's a guy, Sam Laporta, out. Used to put out safeties. I mean, woo.
Yep. That's who came out
there? Oh, what's it for the Indianapolis Colts, player of the year?
What's his name? From back in the day. He was with
Peyton. Biggest traps I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Little guy, but he packed the punch. Number 21.
We'll get his name.
He wore 21. He was a problem. I had to keep an eye on him.
Bob Sanders.
Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders. That's what it was.
Bad dude, man. Scary.
I had to keep an eye on him.
Sam Laporta from Iowa. He's one of those guys. He has an upside. He's 6'4", 6'5", 249, so 250 pounds. Athlete. Dalton Kincaid, Utah guy. He's the Travis Kelce type. When I see the guy from Notre Dame, that Michael Meyer, no reference to the Halloween movies. When you see
spelled differently with an A, not an E.
But if you see this guy playing, you go, oh yeah, Gronk. Chewy. Right. You know what I mean? Like Marshall. Yeah. You start looking at these guys going, this, there's something to this now. And the Oregon State guy, I mean, he just looks amazing.
Luke Musgrave. Grave,
Musgrave. Yeah. He's like 265. I mean, the guy's a monster. Yeah. He can block. His catch radius is ridiculous. He can contort his body. He's a fascial athlete. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys aren't going to be that. And it just becomes a question. Like, if you had the chance to pick up the Oregon State kid or the Notre Dame kid in particular here, because I think they have high ceiling or high floors. Right. And I think they both have high ceilings. The question, I think, really becomes, are they, if you have Aaron Rodgers back and you start doing all this, you know, this mental math with it's going to cost 40 against $40 million on the cap this year, $60 million next year. So you really, do we have him for 2 years now instead of 1 year if he comes back, blah, 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 blah. Can you get him ready in that amount of time? Who's your tight end coach? You know, is he familiar with an offense like this? Does he fit in?
And that's my last point. Can he just fit in? Not even the point, can you develop him into that position? Because you got time to do that as a coach. The one thing is, can he just fit in? Can he fit into the offense, you know, in terms of his size, his ability, and then the scheme? Does it help out the scheme to have a guy, you know, in there just because he passed the eye test? Because sometimes that don't match up. You got to make sure, does he fit into the scheme and does it make sense?
And you just think about the beginning of the season, and you with the Romeo Doubs, Christian Watt. They look good. Then all of a sudden, okay, we get into NFL games and Aaron's complaining about that they're not ready or not naming names or anything, but that's, that's how you passive aggressive stuff and that all the hand signals and all this nonsense. I don't know. Like I didn't really ever think about this, but so tight end is my favorite position in football offensively because I think the tight end gets to do more cool stuff. Like you get a block on the line, You get to go in motion and block. You get to catch passes. You know what I mean? You get to do everything. It's the best. It's like you're a Swiss Army knife.
It is.
But from that perspective, especially if you want to run like the way that a lot of these offenses are going, stretching the field horizontally and vertically with pre-snap motions, like that, I think that job might be harder to learn than a receiver's. Like, I think offensive line is relatively easy to learn. I think after that, I think running back is probably easier to learn than wide receiver because of you spend more time at least in one place, if that makes sense.
Yep, I can validate that. My run game at Nebraska, once I got to the league, the basic run plays, inside run, outside run, counter, power, was the same at Nebraska, and it was the same at Seattle, it was the same at Green Bay, West Coast offense. So I agree with you there. There was not much adjustment other than me understanding now audibles from the offensive line to me to make sure where I need to go fit in on run fits or blitz fits when they were blitzing us or there was change up in the it was audible in the offensive line from the quarterback. So, yeah, I agree with that.
And then you get to, tight end and wide receiver, and it's like every single route could be – there's concepts. Everything's different. But from the blocking standpoint, from a tight end, you got to deal with – now you're dealing with a 285 – every single week they got a stud defensive end you got to play against or two of them, right? You got to deal with that. You got to deal with linebackers in the run game on the way out, right? So everything's more difficult. And then you have the passing game to complement. So it's a huge playbook. That would be the only thing. That's why I might be in favor of bringing a free agent guy in. Although I think long term, I would take either of those two guys we just talked about over any free agent right now. Just take a shot if I feel really good about the developmental capabilities of my tight end coach. That's what I would do.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. But free agents, I'll say free agency would probably be the best bet out of that. Mm-hmm. Right now,
it would be. I'll be interested in who they keep. Do they bring Mercedes, Adrian Amos? Which one of those guys comes back, or which groups of those guys comes back? But
yeah, I feel somebody's going to come back. At least one is going to come back.
I'm with you too. I think I might say edge over interior defensive line, just because. And they'll probably bring back. Maybe they bring back Dean, but you think about Reed's probably coming back. They got Kenny. The Devontae Wyatt's going to be better next year. Like that rotation, I think you got to look at that rotation and go, man, I feel pretty good about it.
Right.
Whereas the edge, what's the thing we talked about all year is like once Gary went out and Barry shows promise, but it's like he's not very, I'm just telling you from an alignment standpoint, like he's not big enough for me to care about. You know what I mean? Like
you
got to be another 20 pounds bigger, 15, 15 pounds bigger for me to actually go like, oh, I'm really worried about you play in and play out.
Exactly. He's like a tad under a size DN that, like you said, offensive lineman be like, oh man, this is going to be a problem. But I can handle him. Because he's weight wise and then experience wise, it's not all there yet. It's going to come hopefully with years. He showed promise, which is a good thing.
Well, it's like, when Kabir was getting all those sacks, there's a point in Kabir's career where Kabir was like, I don't want to play run anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, we all hated it.
He knew what got him paid.
But the other side of that was as opposed to Campman. I don't think Campman. Maybe I wasn't there when he said it, but I don't remember him ever saying that. But Kabir was small, so he was like, "Dude, what am I doing? Like getting beat up out here?"
And that's 250 on a heavy day.
And he had great leverage and speed and explosiveness, and he had a great technique with the way he could rush and create power, but. Playing and play out, that's a lot to ask of a guy who's like 245 pounds. So you need to have that. It's great to have a guy who's like once you hit like 265, it's like you're a problem every single play. And offensive linemen are like, oh.
Yeah, because I remember plays where the teams figured it out with Kabir and he would take his wide speed uphill rush and then boom, it's a draw play right where he left. You know, it's a big space because he's going for the edge because he wants to get up. And I remember Big Jethro getting into him. Hey, da, 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 da. I'm like, he knows.
He didn't care at all.
He didn't care.
He was just to get paid.
Exactly.
All right, I got a question for you. So, Charles, I was watching First Take today, and Charles Barkley was on.
Yeah, I love Charles. Chuck is a cool dude.
So, Charles Barkley, here's another conversation, but I think that TNT show is the best show on TV as far as
it is.
It was like their halftime show, the pregame. It's the best thing going. And somebody said last week, they're like, you know what the problem with the NBA is? the best thing about watching the NBA is the Charles Barkley Shaq show. It's better than the games. I sat there and I went, oh, you're right. Like I would actually, if I was going to go on YouTube or something and watch a clip of a game or something they said, it's probably what they said. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're a riot.
There's no it's transparent. They're not sugarcoating anything. And I think NBA, that's the difference between NBA and NFL shows. There's a lot of cover up or
set up. It's too set up in the NFL.
Exactly. It's too scripted. It's too scripted.
Yeah.
Like it's too scripted. So I love it. I met them behind. I remember went down there for an interview with TNT for some video game for esports stuff. And I met Ernie. I saw Shaq again and then talked to Chuck and Kenny were all there. And I'm just like, I said, Ernie, let me ask you a question. Just as you talked about, it's called the Shaq or Charles and Shaq show. Mm-hmm. I said, how do you manage the chaos? And he just kind of looked at me and smiled. It's like, he said, I don't have to. I just let them go. My job is just to let them go. And I'm like, that's an easy thank you. I said, that's all I wanted to know. And he said that because he said they're the show. I know that.
They're it.
And then he said, but it's the honesty. That's what I love about it. And that's what everybody behind the scenes love about it. It's the honesty, what they give to the people listening in, tuning in, and then us here in the studio. That's what is the best thing about it, the honesty.
So Charles, he's on with Stephen A today. Okay. And he said, only non-players, so he was talking about media or fans, I guess.
Correct.
Only non-players would challenge a player's greatness based on their championships. In other words, he says people who have been in the trenches, people that have actually played, don't. And he was talking about Chris Paul, and you know, he was talking about himself and all these.
Correct.
About hey, we don't look at that and go, oh, they didn't win. They're not on par with other Hall of Fame guys.
Correct.
Like, situational.
Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. Right.
Right.
Tom Brady, whatever. Right.
Yeah. So now you start thinking about it, and you go, neither of us won championships.
Right. But there's a but.
Well, it is interesting, right? Because we do like you think about how much. So there's really two, like in our generation, there's really two people that have a ton of like on camera, off field success after they play. Anybody who's affiliated with Jerry Jones, and none of them won championships, right? At least with Jerry, but Jerry Jones is a kingmaker, and the New England Patriots, right?
Yes.
And New England Patriots turned guys who were just that could have been their third team, fourth team. They turn them into champions, and they're viewed differently. And on the one hand, I go, as well, they should be, because I know how hard it is to win a championship.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
there's respect.
Yeah. Sometimes you go, well, wait a second. They're not like some of these guys weren't even. You wouldn't say they were special. You wouldn't name them and guys you were worried about playing against.
Exactly.
But they are viewed differently. And I just thought it was an interesting point, man. I don't know if you had any thought on it, you know, way we think about it versus, I guess, everybody else thinks about it a completely different way.
Yeah, I bring this up to my friends and family. My wife, we talk about this constantly because it pisses her off because guys like us, because she knows your situation. You know, I explain, you know, she knows my situation in terms of coaching with the NFL team and, you know, what the hell, why you're not on a team coaching, you know? So just understanding that's just, you know, part of being on either a coaching staff in a league or either NBC or CBS or ESPN in terms of that respect, because those places like ESPN, like NFL Network, they're looking at Super Bowls and hiring you because they know bringing you in and that standpoint will bring more viewers from that standpoint and the entertainment side. But then on the coaching side too, they're looking at that like, oh, this guy won championship. You know, it's like, okay, but
this is the interesting thing though, AG. Like one thing I would – I guess what I would say about that, I don't know if it's – if I was going to make a general statement and not make it about you specifically, right? If you wanted to get into a team, I would say, okay, this is you have to look at the specific person. But if I was going to say something generally, like the reason that some free agents go to the Super Bowl and then get a ton of money, like why a lot of teams broke up was because guys go to the Super Bowl and they get paid more. And the reason is that those owners want to bring in guys that have been there and done that. I actually do get that, but that doesn't mean that we look at them differently as far as their contribution to the sport. But I do see the appeal Like if you have two guys that are equal, one's won a championship, I'm going to go, well, they know how it feels to win a championship. I want more of them. Yeah, I do get that. But it is what it is, I guess. It's just I thought it was an interesting comment by him.
It is an interesting comment, interesting conversation, you know, because you look at the fact of, you know, for players that were like, I mean, I'm trying to find a player, for example. Well, I know a guy. Mm-hmm. He was a tight end for the Broncos. I won't mention his name, but he was probably, he basically what I call it sometimes, he was in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. He was on both. He got drafted out of Wayne State College, which is out of Nebraska. It was a small college in Nebraska, not Wayne State, Michigan, but Wayne State, Nebraska. Tight end came, was in college, was a wide receiver, but then switched over to tight end and then was on the rosters behind Shannon Sharp. And now he is still working overseas in the whole grassroots of the NFL going to Europe type situation with NFL behind the scenes. So he's been doing that mm-hmm. for the past 15 years. He actually asked me to, you know, probably be a part of it, but it just didn't fit my, you know, what I was doing at that time. So to that credence, in terms of what he did, the NFL is, you know, looking at that. Oh, he was on the Super Bowl team, but you wouldn't even know it. You would not know it if you didn't know him personally or what his contribution to that team was. And that's referring to you, you know, in terms of who was on the team. Was it just a guy that put in time and actually did this to help that team win? Or was it somebody just a third string guy, but was on the roster and then played time to time on special teams? So you have those scenarios where you, as a player, you look at him like, oh no, he was a good player, but.
Well, Ruggie, I was thinking Ruggie. Yeah,
right.
Ruggie was a
but
a
he
journeyman.
Didn't do this.
He was a journeyman,
right?
But he's got Super Bowl rings, and he earned
three of them, right?
And he earned two or three, but he earned Super Bowl rings. And it's you know, sometimes it pays to be in the right place at the right time, man. Oh, I always think of Joe Andruzzi because he was, you know, it's like somebody had to get cut. He got cut, and then he goes and wins right. three rings. And we just go, you son of a bitch!
Hey, you hit it right, man.
All right, man. Let's get off on G.
Yeah.
I gotta bring it up. So
I saw
the Athletic report. I read the article. The Athletic guy came out and, you know, Russell Wilson had called management in Seattle and said, I'm not cooking enough. I want you to fire John and Pete. I want to bring in Sean Payton. And of course, then it sounds like he did that. And then management's like, okay. Hey, Pete, John, can you guys come in here? Yeah, you're right. Russ just asked me to fire you guys. What do you want to do? And then the whole trade. That's what it sounded like happened, right?
Right.
So then he comes out and he says, like, Pete was a father figure to me and this thing.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that's what I saw.
Okay, dude.
Right.
Like, awkward situation.
Very awkward.
Awkward situation. It's just difficult right now, man. It's just tough.
I get it. No, I get it, man. You like when I saw it, I'm like, okay, this is just the clickbait type of stuff. But why and how credible is this, you know? But this doesn't, either way, especially for Russell, it does not look good at all. It doesn't sound good at all.
It looks completely believable, is what it, and I'm not even saying that like down on him. I'm just telling you.
Right.
If you're a guy who thinks, let's say you think you're a top three quarterback in the league, which he probably thought he was. I don't know if everybody thought he was, but he probably did.
No, he knows that.
Yeah, and he's not winning, and you know they're not doing. He's probably going like, we could tell by the way he brands himself that he clearly at one point thought that he was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So the idea that he would go and talk to management about bringing in somebody that fit his skill set more, like. That happens all the time. That's not like a non-unique thing. That wouldn't be the first time that happened in sports, right? It's just this one happened to happen right before he had one of the worst seasons of his career.
Yeah, but of course. I could see probably in baseball and basketball for sure. This probably goes on all
basketball?
The time.
Jeez,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I could probably see that. But yeah. Huh. Interesting.
The NBA had a game, second highest game ever, 176 points to 175 points. The Kings defeat the Clippers. We just talked about Charles Barkley's show. Like, who wants to watch a game that's that egregiously bad on defense? You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like Jack. I mean, that
nobody.
What's the strategy if because the game, it's not like they played two games, right? In the amount of time it takes to play one game, you score, what is that, 353 points? 351 points?
There's no strategy on defense. Zero. It's literally, it's, I mean, because you look at between, I mean, even our generation on the court, let's go to the basketball court. Our generation on basketball court, we knew and we seen the rule changes in basketball too. That we knew that if a guy would go in the paint, I don't care who it is, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, if they went to the paint, they were going to pay for it.
Yes.
So that's why, obviously, that's now this three-point shooting craze. Everybody's shooting the threes or outside jumpers, shooting from half court. You got Stephon Curry. He's one of them, the kid from Portland. And the defensive side of it has been forgotten because of the changes to the offense. And obviously, as they know, just like football, it's a passing game because it puts more money in the seats, quarterbacks getting paid more, wide receivers getting paid more. So on basketball side is three-point shooters. Those are the guys. We got to make sure, since they can't go on the cup, they can't go in the middle, but it's not really the rule anymore to do that. So now it's okay where a coach, I had a kid, my great nephew, high school, all-stater, Miller, he went to Miller North High School. Mm-hmm. His first year at, right out of Loyola, Chicago, mm-hmm. which is a prominent Missouri Valley school. They go to the tourney every year. And he called me and we talked his first semester, summer semester, going into his freshman year. He said, I'm so mad at my high school coach. And I'm like, what? He said, we are now playing. I'm learning how to play real defense now. This was at the high school level. Yeah, so I don't know if they're doing that. If they're doing that at the high school level. So the NBA is no surprise.
Right.
He said, I'm so upset because now I'm learning how to play defense, like shutting people down.
That's like
double team. You know, moving my feet, hands up in the air, distraction, doing things.
Steve Kerr said something last year that resonated with me, and I talk to athletes about this all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm misquoting him, but he said essentially, like, what are we talking about? Like, I have guys on my team that don't even know how to box out.
I know how to box out.
But, you know, I mean, National Basketball Association. He's like, play defense. He goes, I don't even have guys that know how to box out in this league. Like, it's that. That's where we're at. And it's unfortunate. Here's another one though, AG. So with the NBA, with all that said, load management, NBA, the product is not as, we just said, Charles Barkley is more fun to watch than some of the games.
Correct.
The product isn't as good as it used to be. Although the athletes are as of not more talented.
Yeah.
But we're talking about fundamentals of the sport, being the best of the base, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Load management's a huge issue. And here's what kind of blows my mind. And I just can't wrap my head around this.
Okay.
Because next collective bargaining agreement, these guys are going to be making, right now they're making $40, $50 million the top end guys. The guys that we're talking about that aren't playing because they don't want to play. So you break that down. If they jump that up to $70 million, I mean, you're talking about over $500,000 a game. Okay. They make over $500,000 a game. That's how much money they're making. They can't play in that game. They can't play 4 days a week. That blows my mind. And so what I don't know how to do this because it would just, obviously it's not good for like ESPN, like LeBron James basically owns ESPN, right? Like everything that he does goes on ESPN. I don't know why, but it's not Clutch Sports must own ESPN.
Right.
But like LeBron's, like if you looked at, they did this side by side with John Stockton's first 18 years in the league and LeBron James and how many games missed. And it was like LeBron's crazy number. So like John Stockton's like two or like some ridiculous thing. Right. And it was just because of, like there was no load management idea. Right. Or Kawhi Leonard. You look at Kawhi Leonard and like Greg Popovich did it. Like Greg Popovich did this, but now two thirds of the team are in the playoffs. So it's like, I don't know. You have 82 games, which clearly don't matter because two thirds of the teams are in the playoffs. And then Adam Silver's out there going like, okay, this isn't good for the game. Well, it's like, well, you did it. Like, this is your fault. Yeah. Why do you keep expanding the playoff range? Take the playoffs down to six teams again and see what happens. I'll bet you they start playing more.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, that play-in is just like the extra season game for the NFL. You know, it was just added for entertainment value. And it does bring – like, I watched it. I mean, I remember last year, the first year of it, I saw the excitement around Wisconsin. You know, even though the Bucks were in, you know, it was just interesting how to watch Stephen Curry. His team was the playing, one of the playing teams, and I can't remember the other one. But the excitement just here around here, because it was basketball season, the Bucks were in the playoffs, but now you got this extra game. You know, it's almost like NCAA again. It was like another.
And it's Stephen Curry. Wait till it's right. Like the Kings. Right. The Kings were the team, they'd be like, whatever. You know what I mean? But I get your point.
You see what I'm saying? So it just brings that extra excitement. So the people that are producing this, obviously, ESPN, TNT, they're geniuses. They figured it out. Can't, you know, that's what you could say today.
I got one more for you today.
Gotcha. What's up?
So Aaron Rodgers goes in this dark retreat, right? And everyone's kind of poking fun at him and whatnot. And then you kind of go like, why are we making fun of him for trying to better him? Like the dark retreat thing is supposed to
That was the first thing I said. Yeah. I said that to myself. And I think talking to my family was like, they're making fun of a guy who actually is better than himself.
Yeah.
But we know how society, I know how society is. Society, that's why I march to the beat of a different drummer, because I already know the society stigmas or society, you know, when to tag people with. And if you say you're doing something like this for yourself, of course it's like, oh my God, it's just interesting. You know, that's a whole, I could go down that road forever.
You know, so he's a ayahuasca and the darkness retreat, like they've shown that it, you know, it has an impact on your melatonin secretion. It can give you the same results as taking like DMT, which is a plant-based chemical, very similar to like psilocybin, which in like magic mushroom. So like that whole experience of going on that psychedelic journey,
right,
in some form can happen in these things. And that's what I think once you get to that point, I think that's what you're always chasing again. Right.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
So anyways, you know, on the one hand, you know, it's like you're tired of all the drama. On the other hand, it's like, dude's trying to better himself. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, me too. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, it's just like cleansing out your system from having a bad diet or whatever. You got to do that if you want to live longer. I know I do. My goal is to live to 80. That's my goal. So I'm going to do everything possible. Get sleep. God, don't drink a ton of alcohol.
80 seems like it's not ambitious, man. I feel like you should be saying 100.
It's right there. I'm about to. I might change that thing to a C.
Yeah. Go get a cold tub and a sauna.
I do it every day. I don't do the sauna. I do the cold tub every day. So
I'm going on the sauna. I'm going on the sauna here in the next month. But we got the cold plunge too. All right, AG.
That's all right, Mike, man. Yeah, good job. So let everybody know where they can find you, man.
MikeWall68 on Twitter and TikTok, Process to Perform on Instagram. I'm going to do a block party. I'll probably do these tight ends actually sometime this week. And so check that out on the YouTube channel, Process to Perform.
All right, you can find me on MindGreen30, all one word, on Twitter and Instagram. And the long one that Mike doesn't have to type no more, MindGreen Gamers Lounge,
my favorite
one. On TikTok and YouTube. So check me out there. So see y'all next week. Have a good rest of your day, week, everything.
Yes, sir.
March.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Outstretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Outstretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.